Well, zooming in, this is apparently the building where we're sitting. You can see that it looks like a split-track zoning situation. Under the new ordinance, it would apparently retain that. But if you look south of MLK, just across the road from where we are now, you'll see that there are actually some changes in the district boundaries. The pink and the purple are different. It's clear that some things are being rezoned or the zoning is changing. And in their materials, there's a 3- or 4-page document called the Land Development Code Zone Conversion Table, and it shows on the left side what the existing zoning is, and on the right side how you get to a new district zone, and it's fairly intricate. This is from the plaintiffs. Those are plaintiffs listed in the left-hand column. They said, well, look, we signed and filed notices of protest of this zoning or this Land Development Code amendment. Here's my current zoning in the right-hand column, and this is the proposed zoning. So you can see some of them are going from SF2 to R2A and so forth. So their position was the zoning is changing. We didn't get a special mail notice, the one that's required under the Zoning Enabling Act, the 200-foot notice, and we also didn't get the right to protest. If you protest, you can shift the majority. That was their claim. We want notice and protest. The trial court ordered the city to give written notices by mail and recognize protest. Apparently, this was in the middle of the process before it's adopted. The Court of Appeals looked at this and said that, by the way, it got transferred from the Austin Court of Appeals to the Houston Court of Appeals, another irony in the world of zoning. Because the LDC revision proposes changes in zoning districts and regulations and boundaries and so forth, we conclude that the written notice by mail, that's the 200-foot notice, and protest provisions apply, so they affirmed what the trial court did. There's another case on notice out of Dallas. It's the Homan case. It's a Methodist hospital, big tract out in Oak Cliff, 36 acres or so. They got protests from over 20% of the neighbors. At the hearing, the Eisenbergs showed up, their neighbors. Mrs. Eisenberg had apparently signed one of these protests on behalf of their jointly owned property, and they recanted. She said she really didn't oppose the change, and he said he supported the change. And so the council, city council, voted 8-7 to throw out that affidavit that she had filed. That dropped the percentage below 20%. So then they proceeded immediately to approve the change 10-5, just barely under the 75%. So this was a squeaker both ways. This gets to the Court of Appeals. They looked at the Dallas ordinance. Somewhat unexpectedly, it has some provisions in it about how you file these protests and how you withdraw them. You don't see that often in ordinances, but it's probably a good idea that you have them, although it hurt Dallas in this case, because their rule said if you want to withdraw a protest at the hearing, then you have to re-notice the hearing and start over again. Of course, Dallas didn't do that. That invalidated the zoning change in this case. This is the Fernock case that we looked at yesterday. I've got a little more detail about the notice that was involved in that case. This is a variance case, Board of Adjustment. The Fernocks attacked the board's notice. It said that we're looking at aggregate size restrictions for accessory buildings. And the Fernocks said, wait a minute, it didn't say anything about height. And that's what we're complaining about. But the Court of Appeals, they explained, look, that Zoning Enabling Act requirement does not specify details for the notice. Now, remember from the discussion yesterday, the ordinance in that case picked up the Zoning Enabling Act notice provision for zoning amendments, and they're applying it in the Board of Adjustment context. So they're applying a legislative-type notice in an administrative-type case. But that's just by ordinance that ties those two together. Court says the notice need not be complete and perfect. Having written a few of those in my time, I was really glad to see that. It must be, though, of such a character to afford the recipient an opportunity to oppose. And it must be sufficiently specific to alert the general public to the topic to be discussed. Now, that's the Open Meetings Act standard. So here we have this one opinion that ties together the notice by ordinance in this case, by statute, and then the Open Meetings Act, they upheld it as being sufficient. We have those two cases on short-term rentals. We got a lot of that from Chance and Matthew yesterday, so I'll just briefly touch on these. It's the City of Arlington case. By the way, these go in different directions, 180 degrees different. Arlington had two ordinances, one that restricted the location and the other one that restricted the operations, including fairly heavy requirements, $1 million worth of insurance, inspections, a restriction on outdoor gatherings at night, advertising, occupancy, and so forth. The locational restriction were based upon this STR zone in the middle of Arlington. You can see the AT&T Stadium there and Six Flags up in the upper right-hand corner. It's in the entertainment zone that they allow these, plus some multifamily and higher density residential on the edges. Here's a map that shows where a lot of these STRs are located. The light blue is that entertainment zone I was talking about. The five owners who sued said, this is all unconstitutional. I invented these acronyms just to make it fit on the slide. Freedom of assembly, freedom of movement, substantive due course of law. That's the Texas due process clause, equal protection. It's all unconstitutional. They said, we want an injunction against enforcement. And the Court of Appeals, which I think was impressed by the way the City of Arlington handled this. There was extensive public input, workshop sessions. They did a study. They had data. They had findings in their ordinance. They said, look, these location rules are rationally related to objectives that are within the police power. The owners lack standing to sue on that assembly point because it's the tenants' rights of assembly that they're asserting that somebody else let them sue on their own behalf.